entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 176.
And it's Tuesday, March 14th, 2017.
A couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what, we're going to have a guest on the podcast. And it ended up that it was pretty much the norm. Jeff was on, which he's not on every time.
No, he's not.
And he's not on today either, but he isn't. Do have a guest for you, and it is Kyle Miller.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
What's up, Kai?
Hey, buddy.
It would be unfair to ask Kyle to fill the very large and industrious shoes of Mr. Dave. However, I think it's going to be pretty close. Kyle's
industrious shoes. I'm trying to imagine how industrious shoes look, but I don't know if that's an actual thing.
It's a safety shoe.
I just meant productive.
I know.
His shoes are
industrious. It's a good use of the word.
Anyway, Paul Rubin. Kyle has got something of a scientific story factoid or something, and then also a story. And Layton's got a story as well. Yep. And I've got a little tip for you. It's not a tech tip. It's not a great one, I'll be honest. But you'll be better.
Here's something for you to not look forward to.
Here's something to know but to not try because it's pretty useless. And I do have some feedback, too. Last week I talked about when we were in Florida.
Yeah.
And I met that lady who was on a bicycle. I was on my motorcycle. And I turned around to go back and help her.
Yeah.
You remember the story. And I mentioned that her skin was like chicken jerky.
Mm.
And I did get
I don't know how chicken jerky looks.
You know how normal jerky looks leathery? Well, chicken jerky is just lighter.
Okay. It looks like that, but like tan.
Yeah.
Okay.
But too tan.
Too tan.
Yeah. And I did get it confirmed from a friend. He said she was definitely on meth.
Oh.
And so I was pretty sure she was on some kind of hard drug, but I wasn't sure which one.
And so we have someone who knows what a meth user looks like.
Yes.
Well, I'm...
great time.
I had a hiccup.
It was perfectly timed.
I was not in shock. I actually had a hiccup. I'm just glad that our fans are just... of such variety.
You know what a great cure for hiccups are?
What?
A glass of water.
What about a cup of coffee?
I guess that would work too. All right, let's go ahead and get started with Kyle, and we'll save Layton's story.
Well, I thought maybe I could say one thing, and then maybe Layton could do one thing. I could regroup my thoughts.
We'll tag team this thing.
Yeah, okay. Go for it, Ruben.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it, Ruben.
The gates are open.
Oh, wow. These wide gates. Oh, okay. So, very random thing, and I didn't tell you guys about this. I wanted to tell you guys about this. I told Theodore about it. I guess he's also a friend of the show. And
you started
on here
telling
mostly.
Me the one time.
Yeah.
You got pretty close to telling me.
Yeah, but I didn't want to just because I wanted you guys to first hear it here.
Okay.
Well, there is a scientific theorem that's called the hairy ball theorem.
Oh, I've already heard this. No, I haven't.
Could you define theorem? No, a theory?
A theory, okay. Theorem, yeah, same thing-ish. But it's called the hairy ball theorem. That's the actual scientific
name for it. And is this family-friendly?
Very, very. I know it's kind of scary here, but when I first heard that, I was like, hey, that seems interesting. Mm-hmm. But it actually, it's just a short little thing here. But, okay, now imagine you guys have I wanted to bring props along, but I figured the audience can't see that. And it would take too much time and
way too much
prep
effort.
On this show is
Ugh,
obviously
it's
I mean
nil. Okay.
Anyway, imagine you had yourself a flat piece of wood or something like that, and you had hair on it. Okay, so picture something like a couch that's kind of like felt or that you can push and it kind of combs one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but. Like that, like a carpet or something like that. That's definitely you can comb the hair one way, and you imagine that on a piece of wood that's a flat plane,
okay.
Just one thing. Well, you can obviously comb all that hair one way, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's no issue, right?
Right.
Well, it gets a little bit more complicated when let's imagine we have a donut, okay? And we have carpet wrapped all around this donut.
Okay.
And we want to comb all the hair one way. Can you do it? Think about it.
No, because at some point it would be going in opposite directions, like around.
No, actually you can.
The outside around?
Think about it. If you grab it.
All by a circle.
And kind of push it around in the thing, you can comb all that hair one
okay,
way.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, I guess so.
Yes.
Can you guys guess what you can't?
I'm guessing it was in the title.
Yes, there you go. So you can't do that with a sphere, with a ball. If you can imagine that, there's no way you can spin it one way. Whatever, there will always be a spot that the hair is not going.
Kind of like a Schleck on the back of your head.
It's like a cowlick, yeah. And actually, this one of the other names for this is whatever, I don't know what you want to call it.
It's the cowlick effect.
It's the cowlick effect, but...
I have no idea. I made that up.
No, it's called... I can't think of the
tornado.
No, a coconut. Like a hairy coconut effect or something like that. You can't... People would want to comb a coconut's hair, I guess. I don't know who does that. But you couldn't do that with coconut hair either. Okay, so you might wonder, like, why is this actually a scientific theory? Why? Okay, so for the most part, I think there might be some other examples, but for the most part, a sphere is the only thing you can't do that with. You know, there's other things that you couldn't also, I guess, but for the most part, if it's continuing like a sphere, you can't comb it all the same way. Well, there's a couple. And I tried to research a couple more applications of this thing, but there's one really good one. But they said there's one for computer graphics design that they come into this issue where they can't design stuff because of the way it affects other things around it. And anyway, that it was basically too confusing for me to understand, so I didn't bring that to the show. But here's a very real life application of that: the wind on Earth. The right. Wind on Earth, in the exact same way as the hairy ball, you can imagine, the wind, there's no place that, there's no way you can have wind on the Earth blowing all the time. There has to be a still spot in the Earth. It cannot be a complete sphere of wind the whole time.
Like there would be in a tunnel. If you could have wind
going through a tunnel. If you had a tunnel, exactly, you could blow air through that, and all that would be windy. But right. it is absolutely impossible for it to be completely windy at all places on the planet at once. There has to be a spot that there's no wind, because wind has to be coming from all those directions,
yeah.
If at all. So, just a random thing. That was kind of my short scientific thing. I thought it was probably kind of interesting, but
it is interesting.
When I heard the actual theory, I was like, well, how does that actually apply? I was like, wow, wind can't actually do that.
So but what we need to do is turn the Earth into a donut.
If we turn the Earth into a donut, then we could. But yeah, totally, you're right.
Wow.
Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Kyle, did you want to tell us a little bit about you had thought about, or you did do a video, not series, but you were doing a show on Facebook called Bearded Politics.
Yes.
Is that still in the works? Could that happen again?
Like so many of my ideas, it actually has kind of just petered out here. But I'm not saying I couldn't do something else. I haven't in a while. I just kind of felt tired with it. And also, I kind of was lost.
There's like no reason. It's just like that. I feel like Trump winning was like the biggest political upset in the history of ever.
It's close.
Yeah. See? But now that it's like the biggest like news has happened, it's like
there's still lots of political things to discuss. I mean, you still have healthcare. You've still got taxes.
There is, but don't you think that like NPR is going to get a boost right now? Because the conflict, you know, and I'm just guessing shows like all the main ones are having a little bit of a drop off, but maybe not necessarily. I still listen to Ben Shapiro every day. So does Ruben.
So possibly in the future, but it's kind of petered out for now.
Right now it is definitely petered out. I probably have the time, but I don't have the will right now. So, but it would be fun. And I actually considered, Theodore was on one of the episodes, and I considered maybe doing that all the time. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like, and most conservative talk shows are just regurgitating other people's talk shows. And I feel like we'd be the exact same thing. So if you can't bring something new, I think, like, you know, like, we love Steven Crowder. I think he does a great job of actually bringing something different to the table than your most of the other guys. But, you know, you can turn on Sean Hannity, Rush, and Glenn and often get the very same experience. But
true. All right. Because this tech tip is kind of anticlimactic.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me just get that out of the way right now. On the new MacBook Pros that have the Force Touch, for lack of a better word, trackpads, you can automatically...
What is Force Touch? Is that where you press it?
It's a new trackpad where if you press on it harder, it will do more of a function. It'll do something additional to just a normal click. So you know how all the Windows and Mac have the... maximize window where it goes into full screen mode.
Yes.
And if you just normally press that on your Mac, the green button, it'll go into full screen mode. And
sound amazing.
Great. However, if you want to just use up half of it, if you force touch the green button, it will automatically use up half of your display. And then it will arrange the other open windows in a collage that you can click on, and that will then fill in the other half.
You mean the collage, like as in like a tile?
All the different other programs you have open.
They appear on the right hand side, then you can select of those to add to your other half screen.
Yeah. So for example.
Oh my goodness, I see it.
Well, no, that's just a web page.
It looked like it did. It totally did.
It did. Okay. But that's how it looks there. Then I can just click on. Oh, I want my messages to use up that half.
That's actually really awesome.
It's very similar to what Windows 10 actually does, and the reason I don't like it is because it gets rid of my menu bar at the top, which full screen does
as well.
So wait,
are you saying this is a tech tip or subtraction?
I told you this is something you probably, it's interesting to know.
No, but you said you don't like it.
I don't like it, yeah.
I would love that.
Well, maybe people will like it.
Anyway.
I can't use it. Because I don't have
Force Touch.
I don't have Force
Touch.
Neither do I.
You know what, you could try, maybe just long press it. Maybe that would do the same thing.
There are some functions on, like, the iPhone that, like, do similar things as Force Touch do on the new iPhones. But, like, since the old iPhones don't have Force Touch, you long press, and it sometimes does the same thing. So, it doesn't hurt to try.
Very similarly to what you just showed, an iPad Pro does the same thing, where you can swipe in from the side, brings up a collage of the other apps. And then it brings, but it's not a split half and half. You can do half and half, but you can also have like your mail. Order. Yeah, in your mail and what's that.
I love
like
it.
That.
I love it on the iPad.
Is it possible to do half and half on the iPad?
I think so
ever?
With some apps, not everything.
Not with everything, but with quite a few.
I've yet to find one.
Web browser and Twitter. And
you found two.
And ESPN.
And three.
And I'm pretty sure YouTube. Yeah, I know YouTube does.
Does half.
Tweetbot does as well.
Ruben, I'm surprised you don't
watch... That's a Twitter app.
I'm surprised you don't watch YouTube while you're listening to podcasts at 2x speed on the other side of the app.
I might be amazing, Kyle, but I'm not that amazing. Anyway,
He's no Ben Shapiro.
Let's move on to Layton. What's your story?
My story is about Willie the Welder.
Woo!
He's back, and this time, he's not messing something up.
Production was had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't even work related. The only reason that I'm calling him Willie the Welder is because it's a guy that I work with. He told me this story. So this version of Willie the Welder has some, he has some land. He has like some land that he bought with a partner. Way far off. I don't want to give too many specifics, but since I'm probably going to give away like enough information that people will be able to derive like who the person is, I'm just going to say he has some land down in Pierston.
There's like four people that live in Pierston, so
yeah. Oh, I know who that is. The one day he comes into work and says like, "Oh man, I got a lot of work tonight. It's going to be, I'm going to have a late night." And I was like, "Why? I have to put in fence posts just as fast as I can." And I was like, why do you need to put down fence posts? Well, and then this is where his story starts. His colleague that he bought the land with, over the weekend, he came in on a Monday, by the way, but over the weekend, his colleague gets to their, that he bought the, this land with, gets to their property where they have like approximately 40 head of cattle. And he gets there and he finds two trailer loads of cattle just sitting there. And it's like, what the world's going on? And then it turns out that a friend of theirs calls him up and says, hey, my wife filed for divorce. So I hauled my cattle over to your land just to give to you so that she can't sell any of my cattle for money. So pretty much, if you have room for them, you can have them.
And do you know about how much is a cattle worth?
Let me check the ounce price of beef.
I would say,
are these full grown steers?
I don't know if they're full grown, but I would say that, yeah, I think a full grown steer sells for what, 1500? I don't know. It's in that range.
Okay. I was thinking 2000 or more.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. I'm no farmer.
Price of cows.
You know what, Layton? Why don't you keep on telling the story and I'll look it up.
Okay. You look it up. How much is it for a cow?
Layton, I can't help but think while you're saying this story that what if this podcast would somehow get to his wife and then she like and then it becomes a big lawsuit and hassle and he comes back and kills you.
He wouldn't do that. He's way too nice of a guy.
Oh, okay.
Kyle, we're talking about Willie here.
Oh, Willie, yeah, Willie.
You know, he's a nice guy.
Ah, yeah.
But pretty much, yeah. They just get 20 head of cattle for free. And he managed to like make enough room on their land down there in like one night. He was able to put down enough fence posts to make room for 20 extra head. Not bad. Not bad at all.
That's crazy.
So I mean, he also asked me to help him. Here's a good moral question. He didn't like say like, hey, I'm like really desperate and it would be really nice. He just asked me like, hey, you busy tonight? And that's how this whole thing started. Like, you busy tonight? I was like, why? Because I got to put down fence posts like crazy. And I was like, oh, well, it'd be good to learn how to, you know, put in fence posts, you know, whatever. But at the same time, after he told me, it's like, am I supporting like divorce by...
That's
by helping a guy put in fence posts so he can get free cattle from this guy who's divorcing his wife.
I think there's too many loops to jump through to get there.
I guess he's too far removed from the actual issue.
But
you're the guy helping another guy put in fence posts to help a guy not have to, you know, do that.
But at what point are you supporting him? I just don't want to be an accomplice.
Okay, you know? Here's what I found.
Guilty by affiliation.
I think a 6 pound
association, maybe.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
A 600 pound cattle, which would not be full grown, and I don't know if these were full grown or not, is around $1,000.
Okay.
So I texted our friend Johnny, who is a steer farmer.
Johnny.
And he didn't respond back yet, so I'm not sure. But he would know exactly how much a full-grown steer would be worth.
That's quite a boost to your,
livestock.
Flock.
Yeah. Flock of cows.
That's exactly what I said. No, yeah. But that would be pretty awesome.
It's substantial. Mm-hmm. He increased by over 50%.
Did he ask you... Well, one thing that always annoys me is when someone is wanting help, it irritates me, and my brother does this a lot, they'll ask, oh... What are you doing tomorrow, or are you busy on this day or that day? Because they want help. So as soon as you, and it kind of gets their foot in the door or your foot out of the door, whatever. Because once you commit saying, well, no, I'm not really doing anything, then it's just very selfish to say, well, I don't want to help you.
Right. So what you say is...
So usually I try to cut people off. Once they start saying...
Anything. Just cut them off.
Actually, you know what? I just checked my plan.
No, especially my brother. If they'll start asking, hey, what are you doing this day? Or are you busy tomorrow? I'll just cut them off and just tell them, what do you want?
Yeah, I agree.
And then I'll just tell him no.
Every time.
I do the exact same thing with my brothers also. I 100% agree. I want to know right what they're trying to get to. Ryan especially will just kind of swindle, like, so what do you really do tomorrow?
I just pick up an elk cart and then over in Goshen.
It's just always just tell me exactly what you want off the bat and then I'll say no.
<It'd be perfect>. another real popular
we'll
one.
We'll save each other time.
Another real popular one is, hey, are you in Bremen right now? Or, hey, are you in Napanee now?
And it's like,
tell me what you want.
Well, no, I'm in South Bend. It's right on the way to Napanee.
Well, that's what sometimes it'd be more, because maybe I'll be going through Napanee. Just tell me what you need.
Exactly.
And then I'll decide.
But don't you think it's kind of like a human nature thing where instead of just barging right into your life, they'd like to kind of ease in there and say, I actually care just a little bit about what's going on in your life before I just throw my question out there.
It's like, maybe. Do you like chocolate? Could you pick up some coffee beans from the coffee shop on your way through Napanee?
Good call.
Yeah.
So was he able to get the fence all put in?
Oh, yeah. He took care of it real good. Yep.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
he's
Kyle.
Got that cattle all sewn up. Don't know how the divorce is going, though. No idea, because I'm unaffiliated.
But for the record, you're against divorce.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle. What's your story?
Okay, so have you guys ever listened to The Way I Heard It?
Yes.
Okay.
Haven't.
Excellent show, right?
Yes.
Leighton, you haven't?
No.
Mike Rowe, you know who Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs guy.
I played the one episode for you.
Yeah, I've heard some excerpts, but I haven't like sat down on my own time and
they're
listened
like
to
8 minutes long, so yeah. Anyway.
And they are great.
Yes, and I am not trying to do a Mike Rowe Way I Heard It story here, but it's similar to that. I just like love this guy's life. I know I told Leighton this story, but not as
in
detailed of a fashion, yeah. Oh. So, we're going to call this guy, I said his name before, Yanni. I'm going to call him Yanni, okay? So, this guy named Yanni grew up in Pennsylvania. He was a Mennonite boy. Now, this is, I think, in the broader sense of Mennonite, not Anabaptist,
not conservative.
Not Amish Mennonite.
So, he's like Quaker.
No.
Protestant.
Mennonite. Actually, in 1921, when he was born, probably very similar to what we are today, honestly. So, like, choral singing is a big thing for Mennonites, everything like that, in the broader sense.
Rockapella.
Rockapella. Okay.
Rock on.
So, this guy, Yanni, grew up, and he started started his young life out in 1921. And he died in 2003, just so you know that this guy's not alive anymore. But he had a very interesting life. In his, in the beginning of, when he turned about 16, I think, I found this little excerpt in his obituary, actually. When he turned 16, he got kicked out of the Mennonite church for doing what?
Not smoking.
Drugs.
No.
Hold on.
No.
He embezzled something.
No. No.
Gambling.
But this is something that at least Ruben and I's
accepted.
Ruben and I's church would not allow, but we do.
Vape.
attend sporting events.
No. Go to a cinema, a theater. He got kicked out.
Okay.
He got kicked out of the Mennonite church for going to a theater. Okay, when he was 16. So
I'm glad you cut me off. I was about to list a whole bunch
of like all these things.
All these things that I do.
So he's kicked out of church. He's 16. Well, this is 1921. He'd be 1937 right now, getting close to World War II. Well, he did a little bit of work back and forth for some companies, but then he went to serve in the Army in a hospital here in the United States.
Okay.
So I think it was Veterans Return kind of thing. He actually came to Indiana to serve in a hospital, and it was south of Indy somewhere. Served in a hospital there a little bit. Eventually goes back to Pennsylvania, and he wants to start his life. He's in the neighborhood of, it was 1946, I believe. 1946, so he'd be 25, okay? So this is our age kind of guy.
That's old.
And and there, this is kind of right after the World War II. Industry's booming here. Things are happening. Mm. He decides, him and his brother decide, we are going to build something. We're going to do something, okay? And so they said that they can build wagons. So they started building wagons. These are farm wagons, just normal, what do you, yeah, just.
Like covered wagons?
No.
Or just like roofless wagons? I'm thinking like
hay wagons and stuff. It's not very, it wasn't very descriptive, but yeah, hay wagons, that kind of thing.
Boxy.
They had steel and wood on them because I know that for the next part of the story, he had to figure out a way. The theme of this story is kind of, this guy was just crazy good at thinking of things and inventing things. But anyway, his brother, him and his two brothers started making wagons. They went crazy. They, people loved their wagons. They were selling, I think they said somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple thousand wagons a year. Okay. So they were, wow, they were pumping out wagons. Okay. And they were doing really well, really, really well. But they had an issue, and the biggest issue was they couldn't. It was very difficult to move the steel around and stuff for their wagon building process. So he decided that he's going to figure out some way to make a crane. Okay, so I'm talking like a mobile crane that you would see setting, you know, trusses on a house or you know the big mobile cranes you see driving down the road. That kind of crane, in its very simple fashion, he made a hydraulic crane. He knew how hydraulics worked and stuff. Back then, hydraulics were a way different deal. But he had some kind of, I think it was just a hand cart thing he could push around with little legs on it that had hydraulics on it too, that could swing around in a circle. Okay. That's the main gist of it.
But could pick up several thousand pounds.
Yes, yeah, could pick up quite a bit and move stuff around. It was all for helping him build the wagons. Well, after a little while, the dealers of the wagons that he was selling, so he was selling all these wagons, the dealers said, hey Yanni, we really, really want the crane thing you have in your shop. Like, cool wagons and everything, they're great. Give me a crane, okay? Mm. So he said, hey, we can do this. We can, like, legit sell cranes. So they started building cranes. And I don't know if the wagons they sold to something else, sold to somebody else or whatever, but in that range, the vicinity, they just gave up these two, John Grove, which I just gave his name away. It's not Yanni, but John Grove said, "Hey, we're not gonna build wagons anymore. We're going to build these cranes." So they kept on building cranes. Him and his two brothers. And at this point, they were doing fairly well, but they were selling maybe 15 to 20 cranes a year. I mean, it was expensive cranes, but they were just kind of going along. And
were there cranes around at this point, but they just weren't portable, or was this the first crane that there was?
I'm honestly not sure exactly on that, but it was very, at its rudimentary stage. It was not very developed. So I don't know if he had I'm sure he had competition, but he was definitely one of the forefront in the industry. I don't know if you could actually credit him with the invention of a crane, but it was close to that. Okay, a lot of early inventions like this here are kind of hard to find out who actually made the first
because
thing.
Because everybody wants the credit.
Well, and everybody, you know, Yanni sees his buddy over there making one, and I'll make one that's a little bit different from that. So who really? Oh, this one actually had better parts to it. It gets messy sometimes. With actually a lot of patents are like that. They get messy with who actually owns it. So
Samsung and Apple.
Exactly. Well, so they start selling these cranes, and they were doing really well with these cranes. And so this is about 1955, I believe, they started the Grove Manufacturing. So their last name is Grove Manufacturing. They started selling them, and they're building, like I said, 15 to 20 cranes a year. And by 1967, so this is 12 years later, they were doing $30 million in sales a year, which is a ton of money. I didn't do the numbers, but I'm guessing it's somewhere in the neighborhood of I'm thinking here, it was about maybe 150 to 200 million in sales in today's money, okay? They were doing really well. And
you're getting close to PWI sales.
Oh, you know it. So you imagine 12 years later, him and his brothers hear an offer from another company that, hey, we want to buy you guys out. And Grove, the actually Yanni, John Grove, he did not want to sell out. He said, I don't want to do this, but whatever. And his brothers said, his two older brothers said, we're selling out, screw you, whatever. And they sold out, and the other two brothers kept on working at Grove, and he said, I'm done with this. And so he bought a motorhome. Bought a motorhome 1967. I don't know how the motorhome's looking 1967, but interestingly enough, he went and traveled. He had money and cash from this sell, and he said he's going to go drive around a motorhome for a year. He drove around in a motorhome, did nothing for a year with his wife. And by this time, he's 67. I'm thinking, do the math. He'd be 45 years old. 45 years old, you're not in retirement age, but, you know, you kind of run your you know, whatever, you're just. So he does this whole long thing. And then and I forgot to mention, actually, a couple of years before this, he worked with this one dude. While he was doing the cranes and stuff, some guy said, hey, we need to reinvent how fire engine ladders work and stuff. And so he actually helped a guy make fire engine ladders, hydraulic powered, like the steel ones that can boom way out, kind of like a crane, you know, whatever. He helped a guy do this, and that was pretty much like a first thing too, to have these powered steel hydraulic ladders for fire trucks. And so he did that, and that was only a couple of years before they sold out. Well, he sold out. He's kind of done with life. He starts traveling around, traveling on all over. And eventually, he was done with traveling, and he said, you know what, I want to think about this here. He gets back with this fire engine ladder guy, okay? He said, we need to figure out, we need a way to, and he was specifically thinking about the aircraft industry. It was really hard to work on airplanes, especially big ones, when they're sitting in a hangar. It was difficult to work off ladders and everything like that on the engines and whatever. Said, we need to figure out something. And so he developed a boom lift. So he basically an aerial platform that could swing around, similar, you could say, to a crane, but with a guy up in the thing. And he they started selling boom lifts and scissor lifts after that. And he basically invented with this guy that he invented the fire truck thing with. Yeah. He started JLG, the company that, Ruben, do you know what JLG is? It's pretty much the number one company manufacturer of scissor lifts and boom lifts today.
I think
so. And they're the best ones too.
They're the best.
They're the easiest, the most user friendly. Mm-hmm. They don't die.
No, if you would have asked me who is number one boom lift maker, I would not have known.
Yeah, it's Genie and JLG are probably in. I don't know who owns the sales count, but JLG is definitely up there. Well, anyway, I know for them developing that boom lift, he paid I think 40 guys for a year, and they didn't even make one. Like that it took him that long to make one that actually works. And but he said, hey, you know, he's going to figure this out. And he did, and totally changed the industry. I mean, boom lifts are basically on every job site in the whole world, and it is actually really pretty crazy how much he changed, you know, the way people do things.
Electricians would never exist; they wouldn't be able to do anything.
But I was just intrigued by this guy's thing of you know, look, you made wagons cool, you. Invented Grove Crane. Grove Cranes is still like a thriving company. Grove Crane is I wouldn't say number one, but they are definitely like a booming company still. They have a ton of cranes on the road, but he does Grove Cranes, sells that. His name is Grove, and sells that, that doesn't satisfy him. He's 45 years old. Why would you, know? I would retire.
Plenty of money to retire.
Plenty of money and just do what he wants to. But he said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And he starts JLG. John L. Grove is his name. And starts JLG. And JLG is way bigger than Grove Crane now. Wow. You know, so it's I just thought it was pretty crazy how his story.
So how did you find out about this story?
Honestly, I wanted to know what JLG stood for. That's the only way I found out. And so when I Googled JLG, what does JLG stand for? It said John L. Grove, and I knew of Grove Cranes. Okay. And so then I was like, I need to know the story. So
going into it, you weren't looking for a dude that from a Mennonite background.
Not at all. No, not at all. And I actually, you guys know Sam Stoltzfus.
Yeah.
He was the one that told me this guy has a Mennonite background. And that was just recently. I knew the story for a long time. I didn't know he was actually a Mennonite guy that got kicked out for going to theater. But it was interesting, that part of it. He grew up in Pennsylvania in I think close to Lancaster area. So, and died there also. That's where Grove Crane is and stuff. So, or was at least. But anyway.
Well done, Kyle. That was a really good story. All right, that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Layton, anything from you? Any feedback that you...
No, everybody just hates our podcast.
Actually, there is one... there is one... There was one other piece of feedback.
Oh, good. This will make me feel better.
Is it positive or negative?
Well, it's a request, actually.
Ooh.
You don't take requests. Get out of town.
It's a request to play a game. And Layton, for this game, could you get your stopwatch ready? And the...
Go.
We're not ready yet. Oh. But Jason Gingrich sent us a message via Facebook. And he said, hey, you guys need to play the yes-no game again when you have visitors. So, Kyle.
I heard this go. There's no way.
There's a way.
Well, right now there's only... We'll probably keep a spot of top three, probably. And we've only done one so far, and that was Miles. And he lasted for almost a minute.
Yeah.
And so...
Very well.
Let's see if you can...
Now, you have to answer these questions as fast as you can.
And either way, you'll be on the top three board at least for a few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
That'll ease the pressure.
Do I get an award?
I think...
I want a ribbon or something.
If you last for 3 minutes, was that when...
I'll give you a strip of steel that passed me my weld test.
Perfect.
All right, you ready to hit the timer? Do you understand how the game works, like, Kyle?
Give me another quick rundown. Okay. I can't say yes or no, but I can say things that are similar to that.
Correct. So you could say correct, but you couldn't say yes. And you also cannot nod or shake your head.
Shake at all, I'm going to fail.
I mean, only we can see you, and you can do a little bit of accidental body language. But
right.
Don't try to just like...
Mm-hmm, and don't try to reuse the same... alternatives.
The same answer. Use different answers.
Yeah, try to use different answers each time.
Well, we'll tag team you. We'll go back and forth between the asking you questions. So, three. Does that make sense?
I think so.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Kyle, what is your middle name?
David.
Your middle name's David. I did not Kyle David Miller.
Honestly, I didn't know that your middle name was
David. I think it's
a
great name.
Dave. Dave.
You already told us where you learned the story from today. You said you did some research and whatnot. Are there any other, or can you give us another story from a welder? Do you know a story of who made the welder or some other weird history about who made something that you work with?
I know of a few interesting stories, yes.
You lost.
You said yes.
Oh my word, I didn't think about it. I literally didn't think about it. I was like, give me another one. Oh my goodness. It's so bad. Like, I wasn't even answering your question. I was like go to the next one. It's terrible. Anyway, thanks for meeting me.
I
put my mic away. I was like, well, I'm done.
Oh my goodness.
But no, it's a lot easier to do without thinking.
Oh wow. That's
no,
bad.
I disagree because I would say yes or no all the time, even like you did. Not even to answer it, but to finish off an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's difficult. Good
it
grief.
Is. It is very difficult. You lasted approximately 37 seconds.
Well, you're on the board, Kyle. All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for the feedback. If you guys have a question or if you'd like us to maybe talk about something or do something on the podcast, send us a message.
Hey, and if you find like a person that has like a really interesting backstory, let us know. And then like, actually, don't let us know. You just do the research and everything and then, like, send in something for us to read. because we don't want to do more prep than we have to. It's hard enough just to like hit the print button.
I would say do listen to Mike Rose the way I heard it. He does an excellent job. I mean, incredible job.
They come out every Tuesday yeah. mornings when they're released. I just
listened to one on the way here.
So did I.
High five. He just fist bumped my high five.
That's all right. Weird. Hey, I couldn't quite reach you for a high five.
Is that a fist five?
Layton, what is our...
is there a high bump?
What is our word of the week?
Word of the week... I think is going to be like... crane?
All right. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you in a week.